Angelina, and I'm giving this presentation with Eric, and we're going to talk about Puma, and which is our tool to automate app actions in Android. We work at the Netherlands Forensic Institute. It's located in the Netherlands, in The Hague, and we're part of the Ministry of Justice. And within the institute, we conduct forensic research in various disciplines. So, for instance, DNA research, automotive, and also digital forensics. And we're in the Hanske department. And we write parsers for file formats. And in our work, we came across the challenge of generating reference data for our parsers to test them. And manually, it's a big challenge, and we're moving towards automating it. So what is Hanscom? It's good to note that Hanscom is not open source. Yeah, Hanscom is our digital forensic tool to investigate digital traces. And Hanscom can process multiple devices at the same time, multiple types of devices, such as phones and laptops. And Hanscom parses the data from these devices, and also the output of other forensic tools like Cellebrite. Hanscom parses this the data and converts it to traces like contacts and locations, messages, and presents it to the users in a searchable way. Hanscom is used nationally and internationally, and it's used in big cases. So we support a lot of formats, and we need to make sure to keep up to date with updates of those formats, and we need to validate if Hanscom parses them correctly. So that's why we make reference data. And we need to verify if our parsers work as we expect. So we can both generate the data ourselves or acquire it from the internet or from other people. And we actually prefer to generate it ourselves. And the reasons for this is the ground truth. We want to know exactly what is in it, because only then we know what should come out of it. We want it to be complete. So if we generate reference data for applications, we want all features to be represented in it. So like WhatsApp, we want to send a message, a photo, etc. And we need to comply with GDPR, so we want to make sure there's no personal information in there. Why wouldn't we generate it ourselves? In practice, we do a combination of the two, because we cannot foresee all edge cases. In real-life data, we always come across some situations we did not think of ourselves. It's not real life, so the WhatsApp database of a victim spans over like 15 years, and it does not really compare with the database we made in one day. And it's very laborious. It's not scalable, so it takes as much time to do it the second time as the first time. And app updates are a real problem. So to illustrate this, we have our fictional OWL app. Let's say version 1 comes out, we support it in Hanscom. And then an update comes out, version 2, and it breaks Hanscom. The database schema might be updated, and Hanscom does not expect this. So what happens then? Well, nothing, because we don't know about it. At least not until some time. Then there's a crime, the police seizes the device of the victim, and version 2 is on it. Then version 3 comes out, version 4 comes out, and it's still broken. And then it's noticed by an the investigation starts, and it's noticed, and a bug is filed. And of course, we will try to fix it as soon as possible. So we do this for version 4 because that's the version we can get from the Play Store, right? We cannot really go back and test all versions. So we still don't know if version 2 and 3 are supported, because there might have been another change in the meantime. And then version 5 comes out, and we might support it, but we don't know. Applications are very volatile because for WhatsApp, we know from our own data that 2 versions a week come out on average. And we can just not keep up with that. And the old version might not be available anymore. And even if it's available, if we save the APK, the server might force us to update to the newest version. So I think I've made my case that we really need to automate this. So that's what we did with Puma. This is open source. We found out, we talked to people, we found out that a lot of people in the forensics domain run into this problem. We also published a paper on it. And Puma aims to automate writing these scenarios. Before we did it by hand, we had a whole scenario so we knew exactly when we sent a message. Now we can just do it automatically. It's written in Python, so it's easy to integrate. And it's built on top of Appium. Appium is a testing framework. It's used by test developers. And we use it to automate the actions. So this is basically how it works. Puma talks to the Appium server. Appium installs an application on the device, which hooks into the accessibility framework. And that app actually runs the actions. So a bit more on Appium. It works with production code, which is really nice. You don't need root access. And it works both on Android and iOS. And with Appium, you can see everything that's on the screen. You can interact with elements, so tap an app to open it, or tap the send button to send a message, and perform actions like tilting the screen and spoofing the location. So if we have Appium, why would we need Puma? Well, this is Appium code to just send one Telegram message. So it's several steps. We need to open the app, then open the chat with Alice, insert the message into the text box, which we first need to click, and then click the send button. And this is fine for just sending one message, but if you have a whole scenario, it's too verbose, and it's not really readable. So with Puma, Puma actually wraps around this, and it's just one line. It's one initialization and one line. So you can just say, Alice, send message to Bob. So the features, Puma now only works on Android, but we aim to also support iOS. You can use multiple applications, so you can install an application, send messages with WhatsApp, Telegram, also drive routes with Google Maps. We have ground truth logging, generic for all applications, so it logs when an action is performed. Location spoofing, we will see more of that in a minute. Generic pop-up handling, so system pop-ups, like you need to give this app permissions. We can just handle it automatically, so it doesn't break our workflow. And we have spent some time into making the UI navigation robust, and we'll also tell more about that.
So now that we know what Puma can do, we would actually like to show you a bit what it looks like. So this is a full scenario, and it contains of it uses multiple phones, and also the phone can use multiple applications at once. So at the top, we actually initialize for Bob's Google Maps and Telegram, and for Charlie, we just initialize Telegram. And we actually will first send some messages, then just start a route, send some more messages. But well, why tell you when we can just show you? So these were just 2 physical devices which were laying on our desk. I promise we did not touch them. And we just set them off. Just if you start using it, just lay it on your desk. It's very fun to look at it. We start off with just sending some messages. And as you can see, we're also not typing the actual messages. We're just sending the text directly into the text box. So some messages. Bob was going to work. He landed just on Schiphol. I don't know why you would go directly to work after that, but let's go for it. So we start a route from the location he is at. Trust me, we were just at the NFI. We were not at Schiphol at this time. and we'll start the route. And of course, when you're driving, you should always adhere to the speed limit. So drive 50 kilometers an hour is fast enough. But well, Bob deployed something to production just before he left, and Charlie noticed something. The servers are a bit on fire, so there might be a problem in the office. Well, what do? Well, you don't tell somebody, you just take a picture. That's the way the world works nowadays. So when we send a picture and Bob receives it, he says, oh no, I made a mistake. Maybe we should start driving a little bit faster. So he starts driving about 160 kilometers an hour to just get back to the office a little bit faster. And if you don't believe me that we were not actually driving this fast, you cannot drive this corner at 160 kilometers an hour. Which also saw when you started to speed up, Google Maps had a bit of a trouble because it tries to interpolate how fast you're actually going. If we were to stop the spoofing immediately, it will still keep driving for a kilometer or so and then suddenly jump back to the beginning. Google Maps is not that smart. Now I would like to talk you through a couple of use cases. So you can probably think of many more use cases than we can, but we will talk through three use cases that we actually use. And the first one is to initialize a application from scratch. So when do we actually do this? Well, first off, when we start researching a new application. So we don't know what the application does yet, so we just want to figure it out. And then we map all the features that we can think of, like sending a message, sending a picture, sharing a location. We implement that in Puma, and then we can actually run a script to make sure that we have all the actions linked to the traces that come out of it. And the second one is we want to create a large data set because repeating things is not something we would like to do. So just write one line that says, I send a message, then send 500 messages, and you have a nice full database. If you were to do this manually, well, it takes a lot of time. Trust me, we've done it in the past. And, well, you can also make some mistakes, and then you have to write down that you made a mistake, and then you just look stupid. With Puma, it's very simple. You just run the script and then supervise. Well, one way because script might crash, you want to know where it happens, and you also want to make sure it does every step that you said it should do. But also, as again, it's just very fun to watch your phone do things when you're not actually touching it. Of course, always some caveats. Well, it does take time to implement something in Puma. Unfortunately, every development takes time. UI changes can break Puma. We are heavily reliant on actually where the button might be or what the button is called. So when something changes, we also might need to change something. And we don't have support for actually creating new accounts. Most of the time, we just create one account manually and we use that account when running Puma. Second use case, monitoring app updates. In this case, you already have a application that is populated with data. And then you can just update the application to see if there are changes in the database structure, for example. So we actually have a pipeline for this, which we start always off with, well, downloading the new update. You can just download it from the website in case of WhatsApp, but we can also use Puma to get it from the App Store. We install it on the populated device already, and we just start the app. So we just tell Puma, update the app, start it, done. Then we extract the database, give it to Hansken, just see what it spits out. We validate that the traces that we found are actually still the traces that we expected to be in there, and then we can report the results back to ourselves. Hey, we still support this new version. Everything is still okie dokie. And this is useful for applications where the database actually changes when you update the application, which we know is the case for WhatsApp. Where this is not the case is for Telegram. Here you actually need to perform some UI actions before the new database structure is used. So the first steps are still the same. You just update it on the device. But now we actually need to execute some actions with Puma. And also here, make sure that you log which is actually happening, which because you need this in a few minutes. Then the same steps, you just extract the database again, feed it to Hansken, validate the found trace and report the result. But the validation here is a bit more difficult because, well, you just executed new actions, so there are new traces in your database, but Puma can help you with that because it knows what it did, so you can validate that it still did what it did. And this is only useful when the database structure actually changes when you use it. Which brings us to the next point. There are some things we noticed when we started automating this pipeline. And the first one was, well, Telegram likes to update its blobs. It just stores all the data in the database, but it uses binary large objects. And what we can see here as well, there are two meshes which still look to be in the same spot, but the magic of the blob has changed, which might not be a problem if every blob was a message, but some blobs might be a friend request. And if you start parsing a friend request as a message, things might break. The next thing we notice is that the WhatsApp schema is actually quite stable. So in the 3 years we are monitoring it, there were two changes. Only one was very minor. Some apps and timestamps that were changed. And the second one was actually a major schema update where also the messages table was changed. What we also noticed there was that it was a staged rollout. So when the new version came out, there were new tables on there. But when you sent a message, it was still in the old table. But when you created a new account, the new tables would be used, which makes it a bit more difficult. But at some point, the data was migrated to the other table, but it was not managed by a version, but actually it was linked to the account of the user. In conclusion, and I think I need to speed up a bit, so you all know this. Well, what is this? Well, it's just very useful for us. Yes, I see. 5 minutes, as I said. Need to speed up a bit. So the initial app just saves a lot of time. We don't like to manually enter text messages. There are computers for that. But this also means that we know when something happened. We know within 24 hours if we still support the new app version or not. And we have, well, this is our nice reporting way of doing it. It's just a README. If it works, it works. And just a fun thing for us, we actually now support Telegram faster than Celebrite does. This has high potential, not just for us as tool developers, but also for researchers, educators, and we hope also for some hobbyists. Maybe you can automate your grocery shopping with this. There are, of course, the caveats. Well, it has more time. Puma is intrusive, not as if the government is looking in your phone, but if you want a complete forensic image, you will actually find that Puma has some traces on there because, well, it does use ADB commands to actually connect to these applications. And be mindful of the stage rollout. Now to the fun part. How does it actually work? Well, Puma makes use of a state machine just to make sure that we know where we are in the application at all times. So we have split every application into three parts. There are states, transitions, and actions. So every screen that you can see is most likely a state. So in this case, you have the conversation state. And in this case, this is the initial state. The initial state is just the first screen that opens when you open the application for the first time. Then you can use transition by pressing the new message button, for example, and you go to another screen. Well, that's just another state, and you can have a transition to the new message state, and you can have a transition back to the new message state. But if you actually create a new chat, well, then you go to the chat state. Yay! And from that chat state, you can, of course, also transition to other states, like you can call somebody, you can have some chat settings, you can send media or send media from your gallery, and Puma can just transition between all these states automatically. So each action that you have, so what you actually saw in the script, is linked to a specific state. So if you are in a conversation state, you can just say, I want to send a message from my gallery to Bob, and it will automatically transition through these states and send the media from there. If something goes wrong during those transitions, it actually checks, am I actually in the state I'm now expected to be in? If not, it will try to detect which state it's actually in and continue from there. And if it cannot find out in which state it was, it will just reset the application. Then we know we are in the initial state and it will try again. It will only do that once, just to prevent some infinite loops. But the nice part is, well, when you open the gallery, there might be some permission pop-ups. It can handle those automatically as well. Some application spoofing, always nice. So you can just set your location at a specific point, which is very useful if you don't want your friends to know your home. If they ask, oh, can you go out? No, I'm in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Very nice to prevent some social interaction. But you can also navigate, as we just saw. So you can either provide a GPX yourself, or you can just call OpenStreetMaps, which is, we've actually built this in. You can just say, I want to drive from Schiphol to the NFI, it will request a route from the internet, and it will just start updating automatically. You can also just adjust the speed, but also just give it some variance to give it a bit more realism. Just say, I want to drive 50 kilometers an hour, I want a deviance of 5 kilometers an hour, and it will just fluctuate a bit between that. Well, now for the slide you never saw coming, please contribute. Welcome to open source. First of all, if you use it and you notice that anything isn't working, just please report a bug. It helps us a lot. We can keep up to date with it. if you want anything, just add a feature request, or if you're a bit more technically involved, please add something yourself. It can be found in the Linux Forensics Institute / Puma. And if you want a bit more technical information, we have also written a paper about it. It's on the slide here below, and the QR card will take you to the GitHub repository. Thank you very much. One minute? We will be here the whole day.